welcome back to the latest episode of the Master of None podcast. I am your host, Stephen Murphy, joined by Westy and Sam, the usual rugby crew again, on a just awful day in Galway. Weather has been just a nightmare. But Westy's just back from a run. So, Westy, you only seem to run when it's literally like a tornado outside. Why is that?
I like running in the rain. It's fun. It kind of motivates you a bit, you know? Because once you're wet, it doesn't matter. It's only that initial, like, it's the first 100 metres, and then you're wet, and you're like, oh, it doesn't matter.
That's that, like, I play AIL attitude versus me and you, Smurf, with the, like, it's raining. Well, can't run this week.
If you must know, I wasn't even running. I was doing speed training and tempo runs. So, God. You know, I ran last night at 10K, and today was my speed improvement session.
Do
like a squat circuit, and then you do like building speed for 30 meters, sprint for 10 meters, come down for 30 meters. Then you do like 20 meter sprints, but it's all about the shape, the form that you have at your liftoff, and trying to keep your, like, not flicking your ankles back, trying to drive your knees up away from the ground. And then you.
This is great podcast information, all guys.
He asked.
Can we maybe move on to some rugby? We got it, Wes. He's fast. Great.
I'm not fast at all.
I still reckon I'm faster.
Yeah, you are, definitely. Ooh, I'm not
fast. We should definitely do a race. But anyway, another time, maybe when it's not pissing rain. We've got some rugby to talk about. The first round of the Autumn Nations Cup is on this weekend. We've got games Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, biggest thing in the rugby calendar. Everyone's been looking forward to this for years. This is everyone's favourite yearly event. Yeah. We're just going to sweep the fact that it's...
I'm excited for it.
I'm excited for a bit of rugby.
It's the pinnacle of anyone's career.
I'm excited for a bit of rugby, but it's absolutely nuts that this is, like, usually this is where there's a good tour of, like, the Southern Hemisphere teams, and you get to see your All Blacks or your Australias playing, not like, let's play the teams we played 2 weeks ago.
And Georgia.
But it's and Fiji.
I'm all for Georgia.
I'm really excited for Fiji and Georgia. I'm
France Fiji Sunday is going to be a cracker of a game. Well, hopefully it's a cracker of a game, but we'll get into it anyway. Ireland's playing Wales Friday night. Two teams in pretty, I would say, similar positions, as in new head coach, sort of transitioning period. Obviously, Wales had a terrible Six Nations. We had a fairly average Six Nations, losing to England and France. And definitely work in progress, both teams. But Irish team was named yesterday, which is great. Thank you, Andy Farrell, for continuing to name teams early. It really is great for people who run podcasts. And the team is as such: Healy, Kelleher, Porter. We got Henderson, Ryan, O'Mahony, Doris, Van der Fleer, Gibson, Park, Sexton. On the wings, we've got James Lowe for his debut, Hugo Keenan, and then we've got Henshaw, Farrell, and then Stockdale is still at full back. I think we'll start with the Irish team, we'll touch on the Welsh team. But Westy, were you happy with this team? Was this kind of a team that you expected?
I'm happy with some of the team. It's seven changes from the last time we played, I think, which is pretty good. Like, that is, you know, in terms of international rugby, that is a lot of changes. It's not a lot of new players, which we kind of knew from the squad there wasn't going to be a massive influx of first caps. One or two places in particular I would have liked to see someone new come in, but low in the back three I think really changes everything. I'm happy for Keenan again to get another run. I think he's had his moments where he's been very good, and he's been pretty good for other patches. Stockdale at fullback, but we'll probably get into it in more detail later on, but I mean, I do think that that's a position we could be experimenting with, not necessarily dropping anybody, but trying other combinations. And then, yeah, in the second row, it's good to see Henderson back. Henderson and Ryan are, well, I think Byrne, Tadhg Byrne and Ryan are probably our best two, but it's good to see Henderson back in for a run.
Yeah, Henderson hasn't really performed great in an Irish shirt in a long time, so due a good performance, but good to see him back in there all the same. Sam, what about you? What was your thoughts when you saw the team?
I wasn't as outraged as the rest of Twitter. I never expected 15 changes. Like, ideally, you know, you'd be debuting four or five and you'd have 15 changes from, because that's the point in this whole Nations Cup. But it was never going to happen. Like Wesley said, in international rugby, seven changes is good. It's probably, Sexton's probably there as captain more so to stop any sort of conversation about who is the captain and what's the case and who he picked instead. So he just put Sexton in. Gives Gibson Park a chance to work with what Twitter is saying, the only good 10 in the country as well. Delighted to see Lowe in there, you know, cementing a player of that quality into the team is always going to be beneficial. Good to see Kelleher coming in. Like, he's been exciting for over a year now. And Henderson, I'm a big fan of. Like Wesley said, Byrne and Ryan are probably our two best second rows, but you know, you have to give these players a break. And you know, having someone of the caliber of Henderson coming in as a third string second row, if he can play to his abilities, really, like, that's a great third option to have in the row. There was someone on Twitter was absolutely outraged. They were like, Bundyak, he didn't deserve to be dropped. And I had to put my head in my hands. It's like, everyone has been crying out for rotation and changes. And then this one guy is getting pissed and salty about, like, a player being dropped. I don't think anyone has been dropped for this tournament. Will be dropped. I don't think if Stockdale has a game like he had last week and he comes out of the squad the following week, I still don't think you can use the term dropped for this tournament. This tournament is all about rotation. No players are going to play every minute of it. I think some players might play three games, some players might play two, some players might only play one. I don't see anyone playing all of them. I think that's going to be crazy talk. So I think if we get rid of this idea of dropped and just look at experimenting and rotating, I'll be happy. So, you know, can't complain about the team. I'm not massively excited by a midfield of Henshaw and Farrell. Like, you know, you'd prefer to see a Ringrose or an Aki in there. I think Henshaw and Farrell are quite similar players, both good in their own right. And then, you know, is Earl's going to come off the bench and replace one of them and change it completely? What are you going to do in the centre there? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how the game plays out using the bench as well. The likes of Burns coming in for Sexton. And then Murray to come on for Gibson Park. You're not going to learn too much there. So, you know, how he uses the whole squad will be pretty interesting as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we have to get rid of, especially for this tournament, the term dropped, because no one's going to be dropped, really. It's all about, I think Wesley said before, it's, you know, even getting rid of the term bench or substitutions, you know, it's more about who kind of finishes your game and stuff. But when I saw the team, yeah, look, I definitely, it's not the team I would have picked by all means, but he seems to have gone with kind of a blend of youth and experience, which, look, I get that, it makes sense. It's very sensible. I'm not necessarily a fan of sensible, especially in this tournament, but I can see why he's totally done it. I don't like Sexton starting, as I've already cleared. I'm not going to repeat myself from previous podcasts, but the only exciting thing I can really see is obviously James Lowe coming in, a full 60, 70 minutes from Gibson Park. Will be exciting to see just, you know, what he can do in regards to pushing the tempo. Coming off the bench, I just don't see... Again, I Murray on the bench, I just don't like, what message is that giving across to, like, your Marmions? Do you know what I mean? Like, where does that put Marmion on his depth chart? Obviously low, then, if he's going to put Murray on the... Like, there's no benefit to that. Me, personally, am I wrong in saying that?
I think it's more that, like... now, again, obviously, like, we talk about John Cooney in a bit as well, but I think with Murray on the bench, it's more of a case of when Gibson Parks' tempo starts to drop, you're bringing on a more controlled scrum half to kind of maybe, I don't like the term see out the game, but again, when the game slows down, Murray will probably manage it better in terms of experience. Now, I'm not saying Marmion couldn't do that, but again, he doesn't have the same international experience as Murray does.
Yeah, but hear me out as well. What about in the last minute, if there's a 57-meter penalty to win it and you have Murray on the bench, come on, there's your tactics. Now, 57-meter penalties.
That's a very niche tactics, but I like it.
No, I'm the same. I don't see the benefit in having Gibson Park starting if you're going to have Murray on the bench. I think, like, you know, try some new players there. But that's what the rest of this tournament's going to be for. Just going back to what you said, Smurf, I think the Sexton at 10, like, I'm the same as you. I would have preferred to see anyone else personally. We've seen enough of Sexton the last 10 years to know what he's about. But I think that just allowing him to be captain in this game at 10 will just shut everyone up in terms of, like, imagine the conversations about who we picked as captain if Sexton was dropped, you know, and if it wasn't Ryan, imagine the outrage that it wasn't Ryan because he had picked someone else like O'Mahony or CJ or anyone else, you know. So I think that it allows that conversation to just be, like, muted completely by just putting Sexton in at 10 for this game.
But I keep seeing this point being brought up of, you know, the media and all this sort of stuff. Why do the coaching staff and all that, they shouldn't listen to this sort of, they shouldn't care what people think.
Sure,
but like I'm saying, we, like, realistically, I know we have a podcast and all that sort of stuff. no one
do you have a podcast,
care.
Smurf, really? No, I haven't heard it. What's it called?
no one should care, Smurf. But
Especially on a coaching staff. Yeah, players are right, fair enough, because it's personal and you're playing and you're giving your best. I can see to a point that, but at the same time, like, Andy Farrell shouldn't give a flying fuck what the media says.
I think Andy Farrell is playing the media to protect players. Like, it's very well documented how much it affects the players. The likes of Stockdale's come out recently, Jack Hardy's come out, Cooney's come out and talked about how they check these things and they see it and they see what people are saying about them. So Andy Farrell is doing a thing to stop any talk because he thinks it might negatively affect the dressing room. This is just my opinion. And I think that what he's done by putting Sexton at 10 is he stopped the media, not because he doesn't like hearing it, but because it protects his players from conversations, from questions, from seeing things written. And that's man management. Like, I think you see good soccer managers like Jurgen Klopp when players like Dejan Lovren has been getting absolute hard abuse. Instead of taking them out and putting them even more in the spotlight, he put them back in and he played it and he believed in them and showed it. And that's what I think Farrell is doing in this case. I think that he's... This is just my opinion. I agree with you personally. I don't want to see Sexton at 10 in this tournament. I know what Sexton's capable of, and Sexton has shown in the last couple of weeks that I think that we need another 10 to get some time. But it's probably just Andy Farrell's way of protecting him. After all the shite that was talked last week about the shaking his head up to the thing and questions have been asked and they both had to come out and say there's nothing there, this is his way of saying, look, there's definitely nothing there. He's on the pitch and he's still my captain. Then we'll change it up for Georgia. We'll change it up for other games.
I love the Sexton, you know, sticking by his guns for the first 2 days and then apologising. That, I really enjoyed that one. Do you know what I mean? Either stick with it or don't. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't give a crap what you decide you're going to do, but don't backtrack 3 days later.
Maybe
that's not on.
Maybe Farrell's picking him so that he can substitute him after 10 minutes and give two fingers up to him.
Yeah. Oh, that would be brilliant. Kick off. Up you go there, Billy. or they'll do a PC stunt or a PR stunt where when they're taking him off, Sexton will be like, great job, coach, and then jog off. So we're all good. But yeah, I think it's a load of bullshit. Like, if we're protecting Johnny Sexton at this stage, he's mature enough at this stage to where he's okay. He knows what goes on. But anyway, we'll talk about Stockdale as well, because obviously people thought he maybe should have been, again, the word dropped. But it's a weird one. It's very much, it's a finely edged sword in the sense of if he plays great, it's brilliant. His confidence might get back up. You know, he'll progress from it. Or if he has another shambles of a game, it could actually set him back even further. So it is a strange one to call. Westy, would you have kept him on or would you have dropped him? Sorry, not dropped.
Yeah, no, I probably wouldn't have. But I think there's a distinction that needs to be made here in terms of the games that we're playing. Like, it's England, Wales, Georgia. Like, we will probably see a lot of changes for Georgia. Like, Wales are a fantastic team. They're Grand Slam champions last year. But, like, I wouldn't have been shocked to see a lot of players retained for the England game. You know, because that's a fixture that we struggled with and we'll put out close to a best team, a most experienced team. I think that if we're not experimenting with Wales, we're probably not going to experiment against England, so we're only going to experiment against Georgia. And, like, bar them having a fantastic tournament, that's not going to tell us a lot. So,
no.
Yeah, I was surprised to see Stockdale. I wanted to be surprised. I wanted them to experiment with Mission, but I wasn't sure if they would. And again, it's as we said earlier, it's not about dropping someone. It's not about saying, like, give me that jersey back now, clear off. You know, it's about saying, first off, we're going to play a game without you because we need to see how other players can play. Even in terms of coverage, we need to see who else can fill in a fullback for when you're injured. And there should be no... I think part of the problem is that, like, and it's the media's guilty here as well, like, we don't respect the league we play in. Like, maybe because Leinster keep running away with it, like, there's a negative in sending someone back to their province for some game time. Like, that shouldn't be the case. Like, that should be like, oh, like, you're doing well here, but we're going to give you a couple of weeks with Ulster just to get, you know, to get game time, then we'll bring you back in for the Georgia game or for the playoff game, whatever.
Yeah, 100% agree. Like, I think you'd learn more about Stockdale if he did do that. If he went back to, say, Ulster for a few weeks, had a great couple of games, and then came back and played brilliantly, you'd be like, all right, you are mentally strong enough to deal with this sort of shit. Not necessarily like, do you know what I mean? It's grand, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal if you play bad. Because it is, you know, it is a big deal as in, like, you know, the professional sports people. So
it's not even,
it is their job.
It's not even as if he's, like, if he's that bad, okay? He had a couple of
pretty
glaring errors against France. It's a few minor things. And it's not even like...
Yeah.
I guess like the media are kind of hopping on him. And I guess that's probably not helping. Andy Farrell probably doesn't want to crush him by dropping him. But I think like there is a lot to be said for like, oh, like we're just going to keep you over here, keep you in camp, but we're going to try somebody else at fullback. We're going to maybe even if he spot back to the wing and we tried Keenan at fullback, just to kind of try other options there. I think it's a wasted opportunity.
Shane Daly is injured as well.
Yeah,
so
that was going to be my point. Was I thought that you might see Daly instead of Stockdale because Farrell's come out and actually addressed the fact that Daly was injured this week and not going to be ready. So the fact that he's come out and said that, I think, is probably shows that he was in the thoughts anyway. I would like to see maybe Keane in there, but you know he's flying on the wing at the moment. So why, like, if it's not broke, don't fix it, sort of thing. Then outside of that, do we have really another fullback in the squad or in and around the squad? Not that I can think of offhand. Henshaw played there against England to everyone's kind of horror. It didn't go too well.
That again, that was one game.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Well, and then we just pet, but yeah, with, you know, it's weird how we are like what that game, one by game, we never saw Henshaw there again. But it's not necessarily the same for other players.
You may have seen Henshaw there a bit more if he wasn't as injured in the World Cup as he ended up being. Like he showed up to the World Cup injured after that game. That was in one of the World Cup warm-ups, wasn't it?
No, that was the first game of Six Nations against England.
Was that last? Oh, sorry. Okay, I'm making a mistake there.
Where we got bullied.
Yeah.
We got embarrassed.
Yeah.
Well, it was a bad game, but it wasn't.
All of the being embarrassed by England's have all melded into one now at this stage.
Yeah, it is.
The last 3 years. So it's not going too well. But yeah, no, like, Stockdale at 15 could have an absolute stormer this weekend. He has all the ability in the world when he wants to. My question with him isn't over the little drop, kind of one or two drop balls from the weekend last weekend. You know, that's unfortunate and that can happen. And like, we know that he has good hands because we've seen him catch balls in the past. But my question with him is something that also exists when he's on the wing, and it might be a structural like problem from the coaching, or it might be his ability. But defensively, I question him, and I've seen that with Ulster when he's played on the wing. I've seen it with Ireland when he's played on the wing. I've seen full back as well, and I want to see that improve. You know, I know he can catch a ball, I know he can catch a pass, I know he can give a pass. Those little errors aren't what worry me as him as a fullback. It's the fact that I've seen it for about 2 years now, defensively being not quite there, and that might be because the instructions are showcasing or putting him in a position that he shouldn't be in. But to me, it looks like he got a few interceptions the first year and he tried it too many times and he ended up getting caught out of position and he suffered defensively because of it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. We'll focus on James Lowe, obviously exciting new player to come in. Fairly controversial to some people with the whole...
No, it's not anymore. It's not controversial anymore. It's fine.
Oh, because Leinster...
Foreign players are allowed to play for Ireland now. Yeah. Because they go through Leinster first. Like Quinn Roo, never a question about it because he came through Leinster to Connacht. But that's how it works.
I forgot. Sorry. Apologies, I forgot. But Westy, when you think about James Lowe, what does he bring that we just don't have in other players? Or does he bring anything that we don't have in other players?
No, I think he does. I think he's a really exciting ball carrier. I mean, he's strong and he has pace and he has a step. I mean, it's kind of a lot of the things, and I think Lowe is probably better at them, but I think it's a lot of things that Zeebo kind of brought to the team, and that it was a bit of flair, a bit of excitement. But Lowe has the strength to back it up. Not that Zeebo doesn't now, but I just think that those things are more evident in James Lowe, and I think he's kind of reminds me of Bundy in a lot of ways. Like he plays the game with a smile on his face, and I don't think we're going to have any issues with, like we have with Stockdale, with maybe like lapse in concentration. He doesn't seem to me like a player whose eyes are ever off what's happening in front of him. So I think there's a certain electricity and a certain excitement that we have from James Lowe. I mean, you see it, like the guy loves playing in the Pro 14. Like he's running in tries for fun. Like it's, I think he's that kind of breath of fresh air. He's that kind of influence that like Connors and Keenan had in their first cap. But I kind of back Lowe to keep bringing that positive attitude.
Yeah, agreed. Sam?
Yeah, well, like I think it's extremely well documented that Lowe was moments away from playing for the All Blacks. It was just he pulled out of a squad because he was injured. Like he had been in an All Black squad. So, you know that there's talent there without a doubt. He's a phenomenal rugby player. He's so strong. He's big for a winger, which I think, we have Stockdale who's big for a winger as well. But if you're looking at our other wingers, Keenan, Earls, Conway, they're not the biggest bunch. He's another kind of, he's almost like a utility sort of back row forward. He's able to ruck, he's able to hit people, he's able, defensively he's very good, quick, he's strong. So, it brings that that to us, which is you're always going to be confident if you have a blindside winger who is an absolute monster. You know, you've got that little that opportunity to score tries. And then, like Westy said, he plays with a bit of a smile on his face. He seems to have a really good energy about him. Even like gifts and stuff that have come out the last few days, just kind of making fun of the fact that he always high fives all the forwards after they win scrum penalties. Those are the sort of things you like to see. You like to see positivity flowing through the team. Those are the things that we at Connaughton, since Aki has gotten into the Irish squad, notice he does, is bring a lot of positivity and energy into teams. And you know, Lowe, if he does the same, happy days. Like we're blessed to have a player of his caliber playing for Ireland.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited to see him, and I love his aggression. I love the fact that he, like, sometimes he'll seek out contact rather than try and go around someone, which I just love, and he's strong enough to do that. So
and one thing
I'm looking forward
to. One thing he does, which I know that the Leinster players had to get used to when he first signed for Leinster, is the thing that all the Southern Hemisphere players seem to do, which is where they let go of the ball on the ground, get back up and pick it up and go again. And, like, Leinster players didn't have a clue what he was doing. It was like, how has he gotten up? But they all do it where they place it, let go of it, get up, pick it up and go again. And that sort of want to, you know, almost play again, keep going, keep going, keep going to the bitter end. Like Westy said, he doesn't seem to have any issue playing the Pro 14. He loves playing rugby, and that's great for Ireland to have someone like that.
Yeah, 100%. So hopefully he goes well. The bench, we've got obviously Dave Heffernan, Byrne, Beelum, Quinn Roo, Will Connors, Connor Murray, Billy Burns and Keith Earls. I think you'll agree with me, lads. I hope we get to see Billy Burns on for a good 30 minutes, if not even the second half, because otherwise what's the point in bringing him? But we have seen, look, from my personal opinion, Billy Burns, when the big games came with Ulster, he always seemed to not have his best day. But I'm excited to see him in there by all means. This is what I wanted. I wanted players like Billy Burns to get in and have a go, because you never know. This might be just the chance he needs. And hopefully he comes on and plays well in that game. Anyone else on the bench excite you? Obviously, Westy's mate, Dave Heffernan, best buds, coming back on on the bench. You know, Will Connors, again, on the bench now, not from the starting position, but I think a fairly solid bench overall, right? There's nothing too exciting, but apart from Billy Burns, maybe, but you know, good all the same.
I think Connors will make an impact when he comes on. I think he'll be desperate to get involved. He's that kind of player. Even in his first cap, was hungry for work. I don't see that diminishing in him. Even against France, to his final minute, he was fighting to stay involved. I am excited to see Dave Heffernan get another good half an hour spell. I think he's pretty reliable. I think he has a lot of potential to move up, and I think that this kind of Kelleher Heffernan switching back and forth could be the way forward. I'm surprised to see Quinn Roo in, but I do think he does bring a good level of physicality. So whether it be good or bad, I'm excited to see him come on and see what he brings to the squad.
Yeah.
Or not as fantastic as Earl's back as well, because he does bring a little bit of versatility, especially from the bench. So it'd be interesting to see where and how he's introduced to the game.
Yeah, as everyone knows, I'm a big Earls fan, but this is not the person I wanted to see during this tournament is Keith Earls, because again, we know what Keith Earls brings. But look, I see why he's done it all the same. But we'll wrap it up on Ireland. Just I wanted to say this about Ireland. Like again, I don't want to harp on about what I want to see and all that, but I feel like if we get to the end of this tournament and we don't know the answer to the following questions, then we've wasted this opportunity. As in, like, who's our new number 10 going forward? Who's our scrum half for the Six Nations going forward? Like, these questions, if they're not answered by the end of this tournament, then it's been an absolute waste. Like, do you disagree with that, or is that fair?
Yeah, I disagree with having a definite answer. I think these are the questions that need to be addressed during this tournament, absolutely. But, you know, who is it? Who is our 10? Who is our 9? Those are questions that they're kind of week in, week out kind of questions in the long run, in my mind. What I'd like to see them addressed. I'd like to see Gibson Park, Marmion, if Casey came in or Cooney came in, I'd like to see them given time. We don't definitely need an answer, because that requires a lot of cementing. And the same with Sexton's replacement, Burns, Ross Byrne to come in, then, you know, if Carty was to be called back in the squad, giving them time, we might not come to a conclusion, but I want to be in a far better position to make these decisions next year, come the Six Nations. Or
Yeah,
I don't think, Sam, I don't think those are questions that we definitely need to nail down. I think one of the exciting things is to get a better idea of what a kind of how an Andy Farrell team is going to play.
Yeah.
In regards to the answer to the Sexton question, I think I was saying to you guys before the call, like it's not necessarily who's going to replace Sexton. It's can we build a different game plan that doesn't require the same type of 10? And I personally have thought that Cooney is the answer to that. If we play like France with Antoine Dupois, if we play a more nine-centered game and bring in a second playmaker, maybe Gary Ringrose at 12, or possibly if we can nail down a good 15, I don't know, maybe Jordan Larmour in the future, maybe it'll be Stockdale, maybe Robbie Henshaw dropping to 15. If we can then change the points of attack and have a 10 who's more of a distributor, I guess that's kind of one of the reasons I'm kind of surprised to see Billy Burns there on the bench, because I don't think he's a like-for-like replacement for Johnny Sexton. I don't think he's going to run the game the same way. But I would love to see us experiment with a non-10 centered game plan, because we don't have a better player than Sexton, but we have different players with different skills that we could maybe adapt a different strategy to.
Yeah, just what you said there, like it's really interesting that Burns is not that sort of linchpin, like you say, Sexton is, but maybe that's what Farrell's looking to do, because we said that one of the things we were more complimentary of Farrell in the last two games of the Six Nations than Schmidt was that there does seem to be a kind of use the bench to change the game as opposed to just like for like replacement, which I'd love if that was the case. If we were seeing a Burns or a Harry Byrne or a Carty, a different type of 10 coming in to change a game if the game's not going well, because there's nothing more frustrating than if a game's not going well and you bring in a clone of the players that are on the pitch to keep doing the same thing. Like, I love the idea that, you know, we're under the cosh from England because they're much bigger and stronger than us. So we stop trying to match their physicality and we bring on a couple of sprinters on the wing and just try and open it up a bit. Like, that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. He's made some good points there. Sorry, I phrased it poorly. You're right. Yeah, I think what Sam says is the best way there. Definitely have a bit more of an idea of where we're going than the definitive answer. But like I said, I was chatting to another lad there the other day, and I was saying that I've seen a lot of good in that first half against France. I'm looking forward to seeing more of that in the next coming games to see what we do and the freedom that the players seem to have, which is great. But yeah, the Cooney thing is still there. Like, Cooney's putting in great performances now again for Ulster.
Fantastic against Glasgow on Monday. Yeah. Brilliant.
The revenge train rolls on, choo-choo. And I'm on board, personally. I don't know about you guys, but I bought my tickets. it's going to be quite the ride. But yeah, it looks like, again, it looks like his time with Ireland could be already over, because, do you know what I mean? Farrell just doesn't seem to see him in his plans, which is a shame. But look, it is what it is. We're playing Wales, which Wales are not necessarily a great position right now, definitely after that with Six Nations, but they've named a pretty strong team. Rhys Carey, Ryan Elias, Thomas Francis, Will Rowlands, Alan Wynne-Jones, Shane Lewis-Hughes, Justin Tipperick, Toby Faletau, Gareth Davis, Dan Bigger, Josh Adams, Owen Watkin, Jonathan Davis, Liam Williams and Lee Halfpenny. And we have Callum Sheedy on the bench.
Yeah, who is excited about that one now.
Was Ireland qualified up until, well, probably 20 minutes to go in this game. He won't be anymore, but that's a pretty strong team. Like, that's not going to be like, Wales are in a bad spot at the moment, obviously, but that team is not going to be easily bet.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because they're in a similar position to us with a new coach, although at least we're kind of on a similar regime. I don't know if they fired or what happened, but they let the defense coach go during the week, so yeah. It'll definitely be interesting to see what kind of structure they come on with, whether they'll maintain what they've been doing or try and build on it. It's in the Aviva. I'm quietly confident, although like they'll be hurting after a very disappointing Six Nations campaign and a hard fought loss to Scotland 2 weeks ago. So I struggle to see exactly. I'm going to be surprised at how they play no matter what, because I don't know how I expect them to come out of the blocks on this one. But it's a very strong team. They've, especially in the backs, are so strong, very physical pack. And we know we need only look at very recent history to see what a Wales team can do.
Yeah, 100%. It's an ideal situation for both teams, because both teams, I think Gary Ringrose was on the radio talking about it. It's great that they have an opportunity to get back on the horse straight away and early. Do you know what I mean? Like, it would have been a long wait until the next Six Nations for Wales if that had have happened during a normal Six Nations period. You know, they wouldn't have had a chance to right the wrong sort of thing, but they only have to wait 2 weeks now, so I do expect a bit of a backlash from Wales. yeah, well, as you say, Westy, what way they play or their shape or whatever, that we just won't know until the day. But it's going to be a tough game. What, Sam, do you think they're a bit of a backlash? Do you expect one? Or
I'd be very interested to see what they're going to do defensively. I know they've gotten rid of or fired, I don't know the exact ins and outs of the story, their defence coach this week.
Dropped
a defence coach this week. But is a week enough time to completely change a defensive structure? Or are they just going to keep going with the defensive structure that he was implementing, but just maybe try and implement it in a better manner? Like, you know, that's kind of what I'm looking at. That sort of, there's not going to be wholesale changes from what we saw them doing 2 weeks ago. I think that your Chipperick and Faletau, Lewis Hughes, like, that's a strong back row. Like, there's a lot of experience. I'm looking at, like, 140 caps is obviously a standout, but, you know, Lee Halfpenny, 91 caps, Jonathan Davies, 83, Thomas Francis, 49, and then a mix of that and a couple of small amount of cap players. Like, they have a strong team, and if they can get going, they can get going. Like, I'd never be overly confident going into a game against Wales, regardless of what form they're on. Like, Wales are a rugby nation. They love playing. They have some great players, so it'll hopefully be a good game. Hopefully both teams will come out and play to their potential as opposed to playing to some of the dismal lows we've seen in the last couple of games.
I think if you look at the squads as well, like, we've been talking about Ireland kind of blooding a lot of players and kind of bringing in new blood, new faces, and kind of trying new systems. I think Wales's plan is very much stick with the players that we have, stick with the experience, one or two new ones brought in obviously, but let's focus on getting the game plan underway in Pivac right that we haven't gotten right just yet.
Yeah, but I'm looking. I think that they did a bit of blooding in the last few years as opposed to this year, because of their 23, I'm counting 11 under 30 caps, which is like, you know, under 30 for a Northern Hemisphere team is still quite new to the game. Like, there's Southern Hemisphere teams have players that cap out at 30, but, like, you know, they've got an uncapped player with one cap, player with two caps, player with 10 caps, and then a couple of 20s, low 20s, 23, 25, 26. So, you know, that they've probably done a bit more blooding in the last few years than we have. So,
yeah, 100%. The next game then we'll look on Ireland Wales, that's Friday night. Then Saturday we've got Italy versus Scotland, which is, you know, maybe not the most exciting game in the world, but as we discussed earlier, Duncan Weir's hair is going to be worth the price of admission into this. It's just, they announced it over Twitter and the picture, it looks like he's been electrocuted.
Looks like he's in a Rage Against the Machine tribute band.
No, he looks like that lad from Saved by the Bell.
Screech.
Yeah, that's actually not bad, yeah. So it'd be interesting how that gets on. Scotland, obviously, Scotland a good run of form and some good, really good players coming through there. So they're going to look to continue that. Italy, obviously, are looking to just, you know, get a win under their belt as well. Italy have not announced their team yet. Then we've England, Georgia following that on Saturday as well. England looking to just kind of keep the momentum going as well. But did you see the Eddie Jones comments about possibly playing 9 forwards, one being a hybrid? What did you think of that comments? And do you think that's just Eddie Jones sort of messing with the media, or do you think that's actually something he may do?
I think it's something he's talked about experimenting with in the past. This isn't an entirely new idea. I saw a tweet earlier saying, you know, Fiji do it all the time. They put back rows into the center and on the wing all the time. And it's probably something that will happen a bit more because it makes them more versatile, like, substitute. If you can have someone that can play both, that's great. I did like, and I heard it on another podcast, was Ian McGeoghegan talking about keeping one of the fundamental things about rugby was, you know, the position for everyone, the man of any size can play. And, you know, if you start building all these hybrids into it, it starts becoming more and more like a rugby league, and you start kind of getting rid of some of the players, like the specialist position sizes and shapes. So it'd be a worry. I think Eddie Jones is probably winding people up a little bit, but if you're going to do that, do it against Georgia. Throw a back row into the center against Georgia. Don't do it like the following week when they're playing us. You know, do it when you're guaranteed to put up a bit of score.
What are we expecting? Billy Vunipolo at center? That would be pretty cool.
I wouldn't mind a back three, front three switch. So you put the big boys at the back. Wow, lots of open space.
Yeah. Mako barreling down the new side.
Oh, yeah. Mako and Billy. That's a pretty like substitution right there. So I think there were, you know, Jack Noel obviously was highlighted as a player who could definitely do that. Tom Curry, very realistically, could do it too. So it'd be look, if he does it, it'd be interesting.
We're in an age of absolute athleticism. Like, you know, I was talking about, we were talking about the Wales back row in the last, like, just there a second ago. Faletau and Tipperick are unbelievable athletes and could probably play in the centres. You know, if you're playing more of a bashing centre, that they probably could. They have the physical capabilities of doing it. And then anyone with a little bit of pace and a bit of size is going to be dangerous on the wing. Like, we talk about James Lowe being dangerous on the wing. One of the reasons why he was is because he's probably actually a flanker, but he's just very good.
Yeah, he's just really fast. Yeah, I agreed. What are we expecting from Georgia? Westy, you're our kind of our guy on the ground there for all those kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
Give us what's the camp like? How's the players feeling?
They're feeling good, man. They're confident. Training away in England. I've been on the phone with Gorgonza this morning. No, I wasn't. No, I think it's a tough time for Georgia. They only installed a coaching system about 6 weeks ago. They obviously were fairly well badly beaten by Scotland. I think it was a record beating by Scotland 3 weeks ago. And they had their fixture against Russia called off, which is like, I know it doesn't sound like much to us, but that's their big game of the year. That's their, like, you know, that's their broken nose game where you know, they don't get on well with the Russians really in general. Yeah. So I think they're coming in really undercooked. I think starting against England's going to be fucking horrible for them. But I think there's a big point to prove for them here. They've been campaigning against the Six Nations for years. This is their opportunity to show. I mean, I'm sure they're going out there to win. I've no doubt about that. But I think they'll even be looking at the Six Nations results and been like, all right, Italy lost by however many, 15 points. We're going to lose by 10. You know, like, I don't mean that's literally what they're saying in the change room, but it's about showing that they can be more competitive in this league. And like, they're campaigning for a relegation. They're campaigning on behalf of all of second-tier rugby in Europe, really.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting on. And definitely, physicality-wise, they're always going to be good. It's just, as like you say, everything else that needs to come together. But then Sunday we have an absolute cracker. We got France versus Fiji. This is going to be one for the neutrals by all accounts. So looking forward to seeing that. Again, Westy, Fiji, what's the camp like? How's everyone feeling?
Well, again, new coach. Vern Cotter, I think, was installed as a Fiji coach in the summer.
Who was the old coach?
A guy called John McKee. Funny story about John McKee. Yeah. He married a girl from Ballina, County Mayo.
No.
Who's actually my aunt. Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that at all.
Did I not mention that? My uncle used to be head coach of Fiji. Fiji are always... are always good value, and I think they do front up quite well against France and against Northern Hemisphere teams in general. So I think that Sunday is going to be a great day for sitting down on the couch, getting the popcorn out, and enjoying some very flashy. And again, France, it'll be really interesting to see what France do. Like, France have a great momentum. Will they keep building on that, or will they bring forward a few more young lads?
A few more young Fijians, you mean?
Yeah, this is a tryout game, isn't it? exactly. I'm looking forward to seeing that. France, always great to watch, because you never know. They're going to probably concede 20, 25 points, but they'll score 40, so it's all good. So that'll be fun. Yeah, first round, we'll recap it next week. We got the Masters on this weekend, boys. Sam, I know you're a golf fan.
Yeah, big into it now.
Great weekend for sport. Westy, I know you're not. Your dad's big golfer, Westy. You disappoint him every day you don't play. You know,
I'm disappointed every day anyway.
Regardless. Oh, I meant to say before we sign off, did any see Shane Horgan's basically article where he agreed with everything I've said for the past 3 weeks?
Did he quote you? Did he say, I agree with Stephen Murphy? That was the article. Fucking six words.
It said, yeah, he goes, I'm a big fan of the Master of None podcast and what them boys
I
said.
Truly am the Master of None.
No, he's genuinely said, he goes, I don't care about winning. This competition isn't about winning games. It's about getting new blood and all this sort of stuff. And I was like, thank God. So at least someone else is saying it. It gives me validation that I'm not just a lunatic
makes me feel bad for saying he was such an idiot for the last few years.
I've never said that about Shane Horgan. Thank you very much. I did enjoy seeing that, because because I thought for a while there I was like in a straitjacket in the mental asylum. Do you know what I mean? I kind of hugging myself to sleep, but Shane Horgan's right beside me, so it's all good.
Shane Horgan's hugging you to sleep. That's what I take away from this.
I'd be in the 100%. Mental asylum beside you, Smurf, just going, go wide. Go wide.
Just like, Cooney had a great game again. Exactly. All right, boys, we'll leave it there. Appreciate it as always, and we'll recap it all next week.
Bye.
See you then, boys.
See you, boys.